You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Tis a good morning indeed, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. Welcome in. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It is Monday. And sadly, depressingly, unfortunately, the beginning of our long national nightmare, the football season of 2025 has come to its conclusion. Football done with until we get to the Hall of Fame game 8 months away or whatever it is.
Whenever August is.
That many months away.
Let's see. We're in February. That's two. That would be six.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
I can't count this early in the morning, people. I can. I'm Rob Brown. That other voice you hear, the seductive stylings of the man in charge of this and every sound that will penetrate your ear hole this morning. He is the great one, Lonzo. And look, confirmed, agreed, concurred. Save your texts, save your phone calls, because Lonzo is a good person. All right, the loss isn't gonna dwell within him. He's not gonna be flipping desks and throwing tables today. All right, so save your take that's America. He doesn't want him. He doesn't need him. You're not getting to this man.
I can't wait to hear from Eagles fans. I only know of one. I mean, good for them. Congratulations. What a beatdown that was.
I need you to know last night. So there's a buddy of ours who
you just happen to be wearing green today. I know it's Greenville Drive, but you are wearing green.
I am wearing green. It was unintentional. I swear to you, it was a scout's honor. Swear to you, it was unintentional. This was because we had such a beautiful day in the neighborhood yesterday, and I woke up and just assumed it was going to be that way again today. And I thought, hey, you know what today is? Today is the first day of baseball season. Pitchers and catchers for the Dodgers and the Cubs.
Is it?
Yes.
Is that the first day? Okay.
I mean, not playing baseball season.
When they show up for camp. Yeah, but they've been playing.
That's today.
Yeah, but they've been playing the grapefruit thing, right?
No, that has not started yet.
Oh, okay. All right.
Pitchers and catchers for the Dodgers and the Cubs report today. The Dodgers and the Cubs start because baseball decided for whatever reason that we're going to start the American pastimes regular season with a series in South Korea in just a few weeks. And so the two teams playing in that, they will have the regular season opening day in South Korea like 5 days before regular season open day stateswide.
Didn't they do something similar to that?
They
last
did that
year?
Last year.
Yeah.
The Dodgers are getting sent over, obviously, because Shohei Ohtani is a global superstar. He's a global phenom. He's the most famous baseball player on earth. I would say probably the only athlete that cracks the top 10 global, internationally known superstars list from the game of baseball. So they're sending the Dodgers. This year, they're sending them over with the Cubs to play a three-game series in South Korea that will be regular season games for the Dodgers and the Cubs, but it is not opening day. Opening day for the rest of baseball will be like 5 days later, whatever it is. So pitchers and catchers for the Dodgers and the Cubs report today or yesterday or today. And then everybody else will report staggered out over Thursday, Friday, Saturday of this week. So it is baseball coming up. We got pitchers and catchers reporting. We are, I believe, 2 weeks away from spring training. That's your Grapefruit League, your Cactus League, etc., where we'll start to see the roster shape up a little bit. And then shortly after that, opening day just around the corner on March, I think, 18th, 19th is the... we're doing it in Japan. I'm sorry. Thank you, Texter. We're doing it in Japan this year, not South Korea. Last year it was South Korea. This year it is a two-game set between the Dodgers and the Cubs in Tokyo. The rest of the league will start 1 week later on March 27th. So we are tick over a month away from full season opening day. We are just a month and a week away from opening day internationally. I air quote that so hard, I think I just sprained a finger. But pitchers and catchers reporting this week. About a week after that, we will have the rest of the roster report. About a week after that, we'll have spring training fire up. So I did break out the Greenville Drive jersey in celebration of the clock turning to baseball season. Although we do have NBA season fired up as well. And wouldn't you know it, by the way, can we talk about this for just a very brief segment? Not a whole segment. Dude, the NBA was so mad at the NFL taking Christmas Day away from them. The NBA took Super Bowl week away from the NFL. I thought about this. Oh, we were doing the show. Cody Decker and I were doing the show on Saturday. And Deck said, how about the NBA taking away the NFL's week, right? Like, last week was supposed to be the NFL's week. You don't talk about anything else. Nobody talks about it. I don't care what you're doing, where you are, what you're working. Nobody talks about anything but the Super Bowl. And we spent a week talking about NBA trades and whatnot. It was wild. So Anthony Davis ends up down in Dallas, Texas. He's a Maverick, y'all. Yeehaw. Anthony Davis plays 31 minutes of basketball and was having a great night. 31 points. 31, 15 boards, 7 assists, 3 blocks, 3 steals. Anthony Davis was balling TF out to the point that Deck was texting me, because this game actually started while Decker and I were on the air. It started at like 3:30 in the afternoon. And we're on the air. Deck's like, what up, Rob Brown? Because I went off. I'm like, I don't care what you say. Cody Decker's an LA Lakers fan. And he was doing his best, because everybody's been piling on. Why in the world did we let the Lakers? Why did we let LeBron James have Luka Doncic? Because the Lakers had won like 11 of 14 going into that trade without Anthony Davis for half of those. Like, how we let that team get this guy? Decker was like, oh, no, it was a real good trade. Real good trade, real level trade. Anthony Davis, you know, we're going to pretend like he's not a super. And he is a superstar. He's a great player. 31 minutes he played for the Mavs, was having a game that you're like, oh, maybe it was a decent trade, right? If Luka doesn't show out with the Lake Show, maybe this was a one-for-one trade with Anthony Davis. Now, granted, I'm going to tell you this. Somebody, one of the other hosts, I don't remember who it was, but one of the other hosts on the BetQL Network said last week, he's like, look, for Luka Doncic, for Anthony Davis, you bet every over prop in game number one, right? Because they're coming out to prove something. Luka Doncic is going to come out tonight and try to prove to the Mavericks they bleeped up. Anthony Davis was going to go out for the Mavs and try to prove that they bleeped up. The Lakers did. So we're watching this game on Saturday afternoon after Bet for the Cycle goes off. AD played 31 minutes of basketball and then went down with a left adductor strain and is going to be out for a month. My man made it 31 minutes as a Maverick before Anthony Davis showed back up, before street clothes showed back up. We were on the air, and Deck goes, come on now, Rob Brown. He's only missed six games this year. We got to give him credit, right? He's been healthy as he's ever been. And I said, that's actually not untrue. I think he only missed like 7 games last year. Or 10 games last year. I think he played 72 games last year, which was a career high. And, of course, you count in, you know, a couple of missed games due to load management and all that. And I said, yeah, I guess I got to give him a little credit because he hasn't been missing games. Not 40 minutes later, game number one for the Mavs, and he's balling out. And AD goes down with the left adductor strain, out for a month. It's like, yep, there you go. Hey, Nico, thumbs up, Big Daddy. Thumbs up. Nice job.
Yeah, but I think wait a little bit before you do this. It's too late, but because we need to see if Luka makes it through his first game tonight. Because what if he goes down and then they're both injured and they're both out?
I mean, then I guess I come in here tomorrow and look like a butthole for sure. Then I come in here and look like a moron, and that's fine. Here's my guess, though. My guess to what happens tonight is Luka comes out. As the great Booker T said, looking real jacked, baby. Looking real jacked. My guess is Luka comes out looking real jacked, baby. Luka goes triple-double, and LeBron goes triple-double. I don't know what the odds are. I don't know what the parlay is for both players to record a triple-double. But I think I'm going to take it. Because I got to, you know what? I'm gonna let somebody else point this out for me. I don't do this super often. But I'm going to do this here. Let me find the clip I'm looking for here. There is a podcast that you probably haven't come across yet, unless you're a Memphis Grizzly fan. It's called the Grind City Media Pod. Just a couple of dudes up in Memphis that talk about the Grizz, but they're NBA guys, and they talked about LeBron's last game before Luka showed up against the Warriors. Because Bron did another thing. 42 points, 17 rebounds, 8 assists, made 6 threes, had a steal and a block. He is the only player in the history of the National Basketball Association to pull that off. At 40 years old. Only guy ever. Jordan never did it. Magic never did it. Kareem never did it. Wilt the Stilt never did it. No, Larry Bird never did it. No one has ever in the history of the league recorded that stat line. And yes, it's like those are very arbitrary numbers, but they're not low numbers, right? They're not low. And even if you draw a line at arbitrary, you would think, like, if just pick a list of numbers. Pick a number for points, pick a number for steals, assists, blocks, boards, whatever. And if you craft a stat line and you plug it into the old supercomputer, it should be able to spit out a list of guys who have hit that arbitrary stat line regardless. If you plug those numbers into the supercomputer, the only name that comes up is LeBron James. It's the only one. So, with that being said, you gave that guy Luka Doncic for Anthony Davis, who then AD made 31 minutes before he got hurt, out for a month. That's not the rest of the NBA season. But do you think the Mavs are still going to be in a playoff spot a month from now, with no Anthony Davis and no Luka Doncic? No Anthony Davis, no Luka Doncic. You think they're going to be a playoff spot?
Not a good look for the management of the Mavericks.
Real bad look. Like, if I'm Nico, if I'm the GM of the Mavs, and people are still out there doing this. By the way, I don't know if you saw this. Did you get a chance to watch any of the game, the Mavs game, the breakout game? I don't know if you got a chance to see Anthony Davis's debut with the...
No, I did not.
Okay. Don't worry. I got something here for you. Let me see if I can find this clip. Basically, they held a whole protest. They held a whole protest. And out front of the building, the Mavs fans all gathered together. And as they all went out and gathered together, now I'll find the file. I'll play it for you in the audio blitz coming up at 8 o'clock. They had so 500-600 Mavs fans. Now the protest against the GM went all the way around the stadium, but I don't know what network it was caught a close up of the front of AA Arena. And there were like 500, 600 Mavs fans in a big, big group. And they were chanting. And I got to find this audio because it's 100% going on the clip. They were chanting, and I quote, "Bring him back. He's not fat. Bring him back. He's not fat. Bring him back. He's not fat." They were furious. It was hilarious. They had a, I'm not kidding, they had a whole ass funeral procession for Luka Doncic. They brought a casket and draped his jersey over the top of it at a protest for them sending Luka over to LA. So here's my prognostication.
By the way, I saw that.
Oh, so, dude, yeah, it was hilarious. Yeah, yeah. Hilarious. Upset sports fans are the funniest thing in sports. Not to them, but to everybody else. Here's my bet for tonight. Luka Doncic makes his debut for the LA Lakers. Here's my bet. I've never bet this parlay. I'm going to do it tonight. Just a sprinkle because it's going to be like 27-1 odds. Luka and LeBron are both getting triple doubles tonight. That's my bet. Luka is going 100% on the U Dallas wagon. And LeBron James is going on the U Charles Barkley wagon of, yeah, we can play together. Not only can we play together, we can go get triple doubles together. I'm going LeBron goes 19-12-10. I'm going Luka goes 27-13-11. All right? Duo triple doubles. I don't know. In fact, I'm going to go look during the break. I don't know if there has ever been an NBA game where two teammates have gotten triple doubles together. But LeBron at this point is doing everything else. But this is why people, why are you guys so upset about a trade? It's just a trade. Here's why. Because LeBron James, when we open up the record book, every record is going to have at the bottom of it, oldest player two, colon, LeBron James. Every one of them. Now he's going to have his name at the top of a bunch of them, just regular two. But every record in the NBA record book is going to say most this player, oldest player to LeBron James, every one of them. All right. It's the day after the Super Bowl. We're obviously going to talk about the Super Bowl. Probably should have led with the Super Bowl out of the gate, but that's okay. Because we have 3 hours, 44 minutes of the most electrifying sports talk radio show you're going to find anywhere at any time on any station. I am Rob Brown. The great one Lonzo is over there. We are rocking and rolling. Super Bowl breakdown starts next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Super Bowl licks now in the history books. The Philadelphia Eagles are the victors. They will claim the mantle of National Football League champions by way of a 40-22 victory last night. Jalen Hurts named your Super Bowl MVP. No issue with that selection at all. There were some guys in the mix. I thought Josh Sweat, a guy who I mentioned multiple times last week, was absolutely in consideration for that. Go ahead.
I was going to say, the Chiefs did, on defense, did what they were supposed to do. They shut down Saquon Barkley and said, hey, beat us, Jalen Hurts, and he did.
He did. That's exactly right. I was going back, and, you know, I gave six what I thought were the six most important things, three for each team last week, that needed to be done if they wanted to win. Let's go through them, because I think you can see that if we look at these six things, you can see why Philadelphia didn't just win this game. Philadelphia dominated this game, right? I mean, like, the Chiefs tried to make it something late in the game. They got a touchdown in the third quarter. But at that point, I'm not going to say the game was out of hand, but at that point, you kind of knew, like, Philly had pulled off, I don't even say pulled off the accelerator on offense. They were still throwing the ball at that point. I'm like, give it to Saquon. What are we doing? But let's look at the six keys that I gave to this game and talk them out. Number one, for Kansas City, it was stop Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley ended this game with 25 carries, 57 yards, average less than 2.5 yards a carry. Check mark for Kansas City, for sure. For Kansas City, it was get the ball out, get it out quickly, because the Eagles are coming. Here's what I would say about that. Great one. The first half, Patrick Mahomes looked like he was under siege. And here's my thing that I think is the most important thing to discuss. Do you know how many times the Philadelphia Eagles blitzed in the first half?
Zero. And that's the thing. I'm looking forward to the NFL draft, and hopefully there'll be some moves made for the offensive line. The two times that Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid have lost the Super Bowl, it's been a lot to do with offensive line problems. I mean, when you move Tooney, who is an all-pro, one of the best guards probably ever, out to tackle, and then have to move another guy in there to guard, I mean, it was like a sea of people were just getting through there. I mean, the offensive line was definitely, to me, the biggest problem last night.
Here's the thing.
And way to go, Philadelphia, man. That defensive line was awesome. And they exploited a weakness like they should. The biggest weakness for the Chiefs was the line, and they exploited that. And it freed everybody else up. When you're just rushing four and you're getting that kind of pressure, yep, you can do all kinds of stuff back there.
Yep. If I can just bring four. And again, I talked about it. I said going into this game, this is one of those things that I wake up on Monday and I come into the studio and I sit down and I crack the mic and I realize, like, I'm real mad at me. You know why I'm real mad at me? I'm real mad at me because last week on the show, I did something that I don't ordinarily do. Last week, I allowed a narrative to influence me in a way that I take pride in not doing. I take pride in letting the national guys have their narratives, letting them have their little catchphrases, and avoiding that. And I feel like, traditionally, that's what I think has separated me from the crowd a little bit, is that I'm not buying into your narratives. I'm buying into what do I see, and what is my reaction to that? But I did it last week, and I regret it. I sat here Monday through Friday of last week, and I went day after day giving you the reasons that I thought Philly was honestly the team of the three that Kansas City played in the Super Bowl was easily the one that should have the easiest path to victory. I sat here and I said, you got to look out for Jalen Carter, stud. You got to look out for Josh Sweat. They get, what, 2 sacks in the first half? Or a sack and a half, sack and an assist sack in the first half. I said, you got to watch out for Milton. I know we talked about that because I remember Lonzo saying, you got to be worried if you got a guy named Milton who's made an NFL team. That's a guy who's been bullied his whole life, and now he's taking it out on you. Milton Williams had 4 tackles, 3 of them solo, 2 of them tackles for a loss. Milton did that. So I sat here for a week laying out everything that came true last night for the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't care if he's averaging 2 yards a carry. Saquon's got to touch the ball 25 times. How many times did he touch the ball? 25. I don't care what it takes. You got to get to Mahomes. If you're getting him with 4, keep bringing 4. If you're not getting him with 4, bring 5. If you're not getting him with 5, bring 6. But you have to rush him. I don't care if he's completing passes. If he's completing passes on the run, so be it. You're not. It is what it is. But you got to hurry him. You got to make him work outside, and you got to have guys in his back pocket. What do the Eagles do? They got to him. They rushed him. They hurried him up. Patrick Mahomes looked like he was under siege last night, and it was from a 4-man rush all night. I don't know if this is true, because I didn't go back.
He also got beat up.
He got the crap hit out of him. That's true. I don't know if this is true or not, because I'm going to keep it a buck. So, last like 5 minutes of the game, I kind of tuned out and started getting the show ready for today. I had it on in the background, but I wasn't really paying attention. I'm like, I'm going to keep this long enough to hear who's saying they're going to Disney World. Jalen Hurts. So I tuned it out. I got told this morning that the Eagles ended this game with zero blitzes. What did I say last week? Vic Fangio is not a guy who blitzes a lot. Pointed out that the Eagles were, I believe, 13th in blitz rate in the NFL. And it was closer to the bottom half than the top. I said, if they don't need to blitz, they're not going to blitz. They're not going to blitz arbitrarily. If Vic Fangio is going to blitz, there's a reason behind it. And it was shown within the first two Kansas City drives. They don't have to blitz. They can bring four and hurry Mahomes outside of the pocket. And if I can get Mahomes outside of the pocket with four, that gives me two on both sides to get after him. Mahomes was under siege. I spent a week laying out every reason I thought the Eagles could win this game. And then on Friday, when it was time to go on the record, I picked the Chiefs. Why? Because I bought into the don't bet against the Chiefs narrative. Which, fine. They won back-to-back Super Bowls. Like, if you're going to buy into a narrative, that's not a bad one to buy into. But I don't ordinarily buy into that narrative. I sat here last week and gave you a week's worth of talking points. Naming the guy, not just naming what was going to happen. Naming the guys specifically who were going to do it. How many times did I say Josh Sweat, Milton Williams last week? 100? Named the guys that I said would win this game for Philly if they won. And then on Friday went, but I can't bet against the Chiefs. I'm not saying that narrative's over. Because, hey, nobody's won three in a row. Right? I was online last night because I hate myself. And it was 11:45, and I'm like, oh, one more scroll through the social media before I go to bed. Because my own sanity, health, and well-being is unimportant to me, apparently. I got online last night, and what I saw was a bunch of people going, Brady's going to be real happy he's there as he watches the downfall of the Mahomes is next line. And I'm like, you guys are aware that Brady didn't do it either, right? Like, you guys are aware that Patrick Mahomes has been, at the age he is at now, has now been to 5 Super Bowls. He's 3-2. He has now been to more Super Bowls at his age than Brady had been to at the same age. He's not off target. Now, he basically, if the pattern of following Brady's number continues, he does have to be pretty close to 100% in Super Bowls moving forward, because if we're following the Brady pattern, he's got 4 or 5 more in him. And that's a big ask.
He also has to lose one, too, because Brady lost 3.
3.
But yeah, so, I mean.
3. You know. 7-3. Mahomes is now 3-2. So he can go 4-1 in 5 more Super Bowls and get there. Now, I will say this. There's a lot of interesting questions about the Kansas City Chiefs now. Andy Reid's already said he's coming back for one more. Does Travis Kelce walk out on an L? Does he run it back? I'm going to tell you, Kelce's a young guy, like me. We're both young guys, young in shape guys. Okay?
How many days you got?
We're both young in shape, definitely in our peak guys. If Kelce's got the Rob Brown mentality that Rob Brown has when he plays football on the Xbox, then what Travis is saying is you can't end the night on an L. That's the man. You jump on, you play a little Marvel Rivals, a little Rocket League, a little Madden, a little MLB The Show with Rob Brown late at night. Rob Brown's got one rule. You don't go to bed on an L. It's bad juju, bad gree-gree. Can't do it. Does Travis Kelce run it back? It's been a massive part of this offense, even if last night, and it wasn't a bad night, Travis Kelce was 4 grabs, 39 yards. Longest was a 13 go-getter. Nah, it's fine. It's fine. Nothing about the Chiefs that wasn't Xavier worthy stood out last night. So what's next? Is this, can they run it back and be the same team? I'm going to say this. I think Philadelphia is established as a team that can be together for a long time. 9 starters last night. 9 starters for the Eagles are on rookie contracts. You want to know how Philly was able to go out and get Saquon Barkley? You want to know how they were able to go out and get A.J. Brown? You want to know how they were able to go out and get the dude, Zach Bond, who had a pick last night, go out and get these dudes that are so high impact? It's because they had 9 starters, 7 of them on defense, still on rookie contracts. For 5 years, and I said this last week on the show, for 5 years, the Philadelphia Eagles have nailed the draft. For 5 years, they've nailed the draft. Every one of those guys on the last four drafts is still on a rookie contract. If they nail this draft upcoming in just a couple of months, the Eagles aren't going anywhere. And more importantly, and I think this is maybe my biggest takeaway from last night. You know what the Eagles have done that I think is going to carry them for a very long time? They figured out who Jalen Hurts is. They figured out what he's good at. They figured out the offense he needs to run. I don't need Jalen Hurts throwing the ball 35 times. I need him throwing it 20, 21, 22. I need him running the ball 10 to 15 times a game, depending on what the defense is giving me. And by the way, I tweeted about it. There was a Jalen Hurts design run that maybe had one of the best blocking concepts I've ever seen. I mean, it was art. I'm going to do a film breakdown on it on social media later today because it was beautiful. The Eagles figured out who Jalen Hurts is, and they run an offense around Jalen Hurts. The Eagles have nailed the draft and had 9 starters on rookie contracts last night. And they save the big play for when they need the big play and nobody sees it coming. They dominated that game. And I got to tell you, I am afraid now. And I don't think this is reactionary. I think the Philadelphia Eagles are going to be for the next 3 or 4 years what the Kansas City Chiefs have been for the last 4 or 5 years. I think a dynasty may have been born last night. We're going to talk more about this, give you more Super Bowl breakdown, some of the stats and numbers that matter as the show rolls on. Rob Brown, Lonzo, and you, the Rob Brown Show. The Fan Upstate. Good morning indeed. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. The Rob Brown Show on your radio and cell phones, tablets, computers, electronic device of choice. And before we get the day really rocking and rolling, I want to tell you, if you're not listening to us on the Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y, when you are away from your radio, now is a wonderful time to start getting into that habit. Why? Because of our Slam Dunk in Vegas giveaway. Listen to this. How would you like a trip for four to lovely Las Vegas, Nevada? How would you like $5,000 spending cash in your pocket and $5,000 spending cash in the pocket of your three friends? Well, do I have news for you? The Slam Dunk in Vegas giveaway is happening right now. Here's how you enter. You go on your digital device. You grab the Audacy app. It's for free, A-U-D-A-C-Y. You download it. You register on it, again, for free. Then you go to the Fan Upstate page. Click on the little heart icon so every time you open the app, wango-bango, it's the first thing that comes up. You click on the Fan Upstate, and you listen to the Fan Upstate on the Audacy app for 60 minutes. You do that, your name is automatically entered in the Slam Dunk in Vegas giveaway. If you win the grand prize, you and three people of your choosing. You'll notice I didn't say friends or family there. You can bring whoever you want. You and three people of your choosing are getting round-trip airfare, accommodations at the Circa Sportsbook, Casino, Resort, Pool, etc., etc. You're getting passes to Stadium Swim, which is an outdoor pool party with an outdoor TV the size of a football field. If there's a sport happening on planet Earth that has a camera pointed at it, it's on that screen at Stadium Swim. And you and all three of your traveling companions are getting $5,000 to do with what you see fit. That's 20 grand, 20K, 20 grr in your pocket. And all you have to do is go to the Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y, put it on your digital devices and listen to the Fan Upstate for 60 minutes. And you are auto-entered for the dub and a trip to Vegas. Good luck and you're welcome. All right, breaking down the Super Bowl, let's keep going. Do want to let you know the phone line's open for you. 844-326-3663 is the number. 844-FAN-FONE. You can also text that number, 844-326-3663. We want you involved with the show this and every morning. Let us know your thoughts on Super Bowl licks. Last night, pitchers and catchers are reporting in Major League Baseball. Later on this week, as spring training's just around the corner, opening day, a tick over, a month and some change away from right now. We got everything and anything you want to get to in the landscape of sports. But we want your thoughts on the big game, TM. Joseph checked in. We're waiting on James, our resident Eagles fan, who I assume somewhere is probably passed out in a bush with no pants on. And frankly, I get it, buddy. I'm going to tell y'all right now. Joseph, I'm coming back to you. I'm going to tell you right now. Saints ever win another Super Bowl when I'm on the air? Just know I'm not coming to work the next day. Okay? Just know in advance. Saints ever win another Super Bowl? I'm not coming to work the next day. All right.
So your attendance is going to be
conditional.
Going to say great for the next at least few years.
Probably. Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure. Yeah. You don't have to worry about me taking a Super Bowl Monday off for like a decade.
Still don't have a coach yet.
Yeah, we do. Kellen Moore.
Has he signed?
No, but he'll sign today or tomorrow. He'll probably go celebrate for a couple days.
He may show up and go, you know what?
Never mind.
I just won a Super Bowl. I'm going back to
New Orleans Saints. I thought about this over the weekend because they were talking about that. I don't know how many times I heard the words Kellen Moore, pending some other incident, will become the next head coach of the New Orleans Saints. And I listened to that, Zoe, and you know the thought I had on Saturday? We had Mike McCarthy say, nah, I'm good. The minute the Cowboys job got filled by Shoddy, like six other candidates were like, don't call me, I'll call you. I'm out. We're hiring Kellen Moore because he's the only one that'll take the job. And even that, I'm looking at it, I'm like, I got to tell you, and I mean this, as a fan of that football team, I mean this. Zoe, if I was Kellen Moore, I'd stay with Philly and run the SOB back. I'd run it back one more time. I'm coming back with Jalen Hurts, a Super Bowl MVP, going to 2 out of 3, winning one of them, beating the Chiefs to do it. Why would I leave Philly as the OC to go be the HC of a team that can't be good for a decade? I'd stay in Philly. Honestly, Zoe, the New Orleans Saints next year might be the first NFL team coached by AI because we're out of options. Like, at this point, they're going to go on Xbox Live and find the number one ranked Madden player in the world. Be like, hey, you want to be a head coach in the NFL? We're out of options.
He's going to be like the GM for WWE for a while. We didn't know who it was.
Yeah.
It's going to be that.
Bring. Oh, the call is in from the mystery head coach. We're about to have our play calling by Twitter committee. The Saints are going to send out a tweet, be like, what do y'all want to see us call next? And put up a poll with four options. Whatever we vote on, that's the opening play.
It's going to be like my tiebreaker over there.
Yeah.
Just whoever's the first one.
Next text we get calls the next play.
Yeah.
And you're starting at quarterback, Derek Carr, and your head coach, Gronk. Your head coach, Meta.
It's like we're punting on first down. Okay.
Golly, I don't like football anymore. Hey, speaking of football, let's get back to it. All right, Joseph wrote in. Here's what he had to say. Joseph, we have two Eagles fans now. We got Joseph and James. The Eagles are taking over.
Cool. I mean, Joseph may have always been there. It just may be the first time he's commenting.
He said possibly. The Eagles' defensive line manhandled the Chiefs all night. 6 sacks on 4-man rushes is insane. Once they forced Patrick to get out of his comfort zone, he was startled and rushing throws, and that was the huge difference between this game and 2 years ago. The Eagles are built to become a dynasty over the next 5 seasons, and your one Eagles fan is right here, still awake. I got to fix my sound. That sounds terrible. Why does that sound like that? What happened? What changed?
I don't know. So if they are indeed a dynasty, when does America turn on them?
Now, buddy. Now.
Yeah. Are they instantly the heel with the Super Bowl win?
Now. It's happened. Nope, that's not a good idea. I got to figure out why my goal horn, why my Selly horn sounds so garbage. That's terrible.
Are the Chiefs now the underdog, the no longer the bad guy? are they Baron Corbin now? I don't know.
I don't know. I am interested to see. Because here's the reality about the Chiefs becoming disliked. The Chiefs became disliked for the same reason that every dynasty becomes disliked. America likes a plucky underdog. We don't love we like winners. But we like to hate winners more than we like winners, right? We like winners, but we really like to hate winners more than we like winners. I am interested, not just because the Chiefs lost the game last night, but because the Chiefs got decimated in the game last night. I genuinely wonder what the reaction to the Chiefs is next year. What is the national consensus? Are we done with them at this point? And how do we feel about the Eagles? Because I will also point out, great one, that after you guys won number one of the last two, running it back the next year, I don't think the Chiefs were like viewed as public enemy number one. But after you won number two, they were. And I think there's a lot of different things. I think a lot of people, a lot of people, because of the Taylor Swift thing. Did you notice how much they didn't show Taylor Swift last night? She went way under the total appearances.
That's because Travis Kelce didn't make any catches. They usually only show her after those catches. And as far as, I think the second Super Bowl is the one they lost to Tom Brady.
Yes.
So the villain was there. It was Tom Brady.
That's also true.
Yeah.
Because Tommy Touchdown, even when he got down to Tampa Bay, people were still rooting against Tommy Touchdown. So I'm interested to see if the Chiefs are just another team next year or if they go back to the plucky underdog role and now Philly's the team we all hate. I don't know. Here's what I do know. Joseph's right. And I said that to end the last segment. I think the Philadelphia Eagles are now set up to be a dynasty for like a minute.
I'm shocked we haven't seen the Buffalo Bills fans in here going, oh, we could have done better than that.
I mean, I don't know. Honestly, I don't know if you could have.
But you couldn't because you lost.
I don't know if you could have. Here's what I do know. What I do know is the Philadelphia Eagles are a surprisingly young football team. The Philadelphia Eagles with the exciting whites as cornerbacks, which is my favorite thing.
They are they're starting their own podcast, by the way. I don't know if you saw that.
I just assume...
The Exciting Whites podcast. They are doing that.
I just assume that every NFL player has a podcast now.
Of course.
I think the list of players without a podcast
is shorter. Some of them are good.
Some of them are good.
Some of them are not.
So. I'm not, for the record, I'm not hating on it. If you can get an audience, get an audience, man. I'm not mad at it. Get the bag. I don't think all of them need a podcast.
We sat there last night after eating the best wings I've ever made.
What time did you go to bed?
Pretty late for me, which is why I'm a little tired, about 10:15.
Okay.
But I kept...
So what, like early fourth quarter?
No, the game was over. I watched.
Was that game over that early?
Yeah.
Did I stay up that long after the game?
Yeah, you did. I turned it off after the last onside didn't hit. So there was like a minute 30 left or something like that, which all they were going to do is kneel down. I turned it off then to go to sleep. But yeah, it was a little bit later than what I normally go to bed.
How's Miss Lisa?
She's fine. We sit there and we're saying, don't really dislike Philadelphia. I mean, it's one thing to get beat. It's another thing to get beat by a team that you just can't stand anybody on the team. And it wasn't like that. I mean, there are a lot of good stories on Philadelphia. For one thing, Jalen Hurts has been counted out forever. I mean, since he got benched and all that kind of stuff at Alabama and people talking about he can't get it done, and he did last night. And then Saquon Barkley is an excellent story. I mean, floundering in New York for as long as he did and then going to a team and immediately winning the Super Bowl. Even though he didn't have the greatest game last night, he was the key of the defense.
That's right.
They were keying on him. And because of him, things opened up for Jalen Hurts.
That was the reason. When I gave my six keys to the game, of which I got four green check marks and I got two red X's. I think four of the six keys I can give a green check mark. That happened. Two of them I have red X's. The problem is this. The two red X's both belong to the Kansas City Chiefs. One of the red X was, or one of the green checks was stop Saquon Barkley. But remember, there's another reason that I said, or strategy that I had, which was if I'm Philly, I don't care if Saquon Barkley is losing a yard every time he touches the ball. You give him the ball 25 times. And the reason was never so that Saquon would go for a buck 11. Remember, my crazy bet, Cody Decker literally attacked me, not literally like physically, but like verbally attacked me on air because I said Saquon Barkley's not getting 111 yards, which was his over-under number. I think it went up to like 113 at kick. He's not getting that number. Deck was like, come on, dude, it's Saquon Barkley. I said, hold up on me. Hear me up. Hear me out. Hold up. The Chiefs are going to key in on Saquon Barkley. They have to. That's the offense. It opens the field for everybody else. I went over on A.J. Brown. I went over on Johan Dotson. I went over on Dallas Goedert. Hey, I think he's the only one of the three that didn't get the over. But the key to me was, always. Saquon's got to touch the ball 25 times. Not so that he takes the game over, but what? So that the Chiefs defense stays locked in on 26.
And by the way, no one's talking about the fact that Andy Reid, who's such a great play caller last night, not so much, because they could have done the same thing and ran the ball, and they didn't run the ball at all. Well, I mean, it was like, why not run the ball? You run the ball to open things up for the pass. And once Philadelphia realized, hey, they're not going to run the ball, they didn't worry about that.
Yeah, but I mean, you're right. You are 100% right. But I would also point out
They grinded all year when they would go against a defense and have problems. They still ran the ball some. They did not do that last night.
I think what happened was, and I could be wrong, but looking at that game, I think what happened was Kansas City saw on drives 1 and 2 that Philly was bringing 4. There were no blitzes. And I think they looked and they said, okay, if they're only going to bring 4, we're going to let Mahomes stand in the pocket and deliver. And then got to the point where 4 was getting Mahomes rushed outside of the pocket. But Philly came out with their pants on fire and ran up a lead. By the time that it became obvious that Kansas City has to run the ball to keep linebackers honest, which is why Zach Bond got that pick, by the time Kansas City realized we got to run this ball, you were down 17-0.
See, that's the thing.
It's too late.
They should have realized it in the first place. The fact that the very first series when they were on the field, they didn't run the ball at all. And I'm like, why are they doing that? Because that hasn't been their identity. And talked about before how you get to a game and then you change your identity. Your identity should be what it was that got you there, and they did not do that.
I don't disagree with you, and I think you're absolutely correct. I think that was a result of what the Eagles are. I think they looked and they said, this team doesn't blitz, and the Eagles don't blitz until the quarterback's dicing them a little bit. Then they try to hurry the internal clock up by bringing extra guys. But Philly doesn't blitz. They're middle of the pack in the NFL in blitz rate. They just don't bring a lot of heat. And so I think when you guys got down in the hole 17-0, obviously too late. And I think early in the game, the plan was, we're going to let Patrick Mahomes be Patrick Mahomes. We're going to let him try to add to the GOAT title. And we're going to do that out of the pocket because the Eagles only bring 4. And we can stop that. Except for, you couldn't stop that. And when 4 is getting to Mahomes and getting Mahomes outside of the pocket and getting wide, what's that gives me? It gives me Mahomes out of the pocket. It gives me a linebacker to spy on Mahomes. If he goes left, go left. If he goes right, go right. Just get in his face ASAP. And it lets me drop 6 guys into coverage. Not only was Mahomes running for his life last night, but he was running for his life looking for open receivers when he had 4 and Philly had 6 defenders back there all night long. And there was no way around it. So, you know, it kind of is what it is. All right, we're going to do a lot more breakdown on this game. We got your water cooler cheat sheet coming up next. Top 3 sports items, 8:40. John Blau with the Post and Courier is going to join us. A couple of Clemson guys, Jeremiah Trotter, Will Shipley, both winning a ring in their rookie years. Pretty solid day for the Tigers. All that and more coming up after Lonzo earns the whatever the Lombardi Trophy is called for guys who read sports flashes.
Yeah, there should be a trophy out there somewhere. I would not get it this year, though. Three-peat remains a dream as Philadelphia Eagles became NFL champions last night with a 40-22 win over the Kansas City. It was a beatdown over the Kansas City Chiefs. Eagles quarterback Jalen Hurts was named MVP with a 17-22, 2 touchdown and 1 interception performance that included a rushing touchdown. Saquon Barkley had 25 carries, 57 yards, while the Eagles held the Chiefs to just 49 total rushing yards. Patrick Mahomes recorded 257 yards and 3 touchdowns, but was picked off twice. South Carolina women's basketball team saw their 57-game conference win streak come to an end with a 66-62 loss to number 4 Texas in Austin yesterday. The Longhorns avenged a loss earlier in the season to create a 3-way tie atop the SEC standings with South Carolina, Texas, and LSU. Tune in Wednesday night at 6:30 as Furman Paladins take on the Mercer Bears right here on The Fan.